Michael Phelps is the most successful and the most decorated Olympian of all time. He has won 28 different medals. Just listen to this. In 2004 in Athens, he won 6 gold medals and 2 bronze. 2008 in Beijing, 8 gold medals. 2012 in London, 4 gold medals, 2 silver. 2016 in Rio, 5 gold medals and 1 silver. An amazing record and just an outstanding, and again, the most decorated Olympian of all time. But as I think about those medals, what happens to them when someone steps into eternity? They just go to somebody else. But the Bible tells us that there are rewards that we can work for that we'll have the privilege of having in eternity and even presenting before the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then also we're going to slide all the way back to the book of Revelation chapter 4. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to pick up in verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. It says, "For no one can lay any other foundation than that what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward." Then all the way back to the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse number 9, it says this: "Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne and say, 'O Lord, our God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.'" And with that, let's pray. God, thank you for your word today. And I ask that you would take these next moments as we open your word together. God, give us clarity of heart and, Lord, a fresh motivation for our soul. In the name of Jesus, amen. As we look at what the Bible says that happens to us after eternity, the Bible says that after someone dies, they go to either heaven or hell, and then ultimately they will face another round of judgment. For those that are unbelievers, they will stand before the great white throne judgment as described in Revelation chapter 12 and will be cast away from the presence of the Lord forever. And we as believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not a judgment of salvation. This is a judgment based on our service. What we did after we received Christ. How we worked, how we lived, how we worshiped, how we served. And so with that, the judgment seat of Christ, there are rewards that will come. The Lord gives the picture through the mouthpiece of Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 that our works will be tested by fire. And if we have built just things of the earth like wood, hay, straw, those things, when the Lord puts them to the fire, will be burned up. But if we have served him with right heart, right motives, in the right way, he gives the picture of us building with gold and silver and precious stones, and those things survive the fire. Now, what we find in Scripture in the New Testament is that there are 5 different crowns that are mentioned that we can receive as rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. 5 different crowns that we can receive. As we think about those crowns, and we're going to look at those in just a minute, we have to think about our modern world in which we live, because many of us have never put a crown on our head, at least in a long time, though I was at Burger King this week, and so I could have worn a crown, I guess, when I was there. Most of us don't think about a crown as normal headdress. Most of us think about ball caps or cowboy hats. That's mostly the world that we live in. And there are two different Greek words for the word crown. The first is the word diadema, which gives the picture of the word diadem translated into the English. This is a crown that is given for royalty and those that are in authority. This is a crown for royalty and those in authority. In Revelation chapter 19, as the heavens are cleared back and John gets a picture, he sees one who comes riding in on a white horse, and he comes to judge and to make war. And his name is called Faithful and True. And his eyes are like flaming fire. And it says, and on his head are many crowns. We believe that to be obviously Jesus as he is coming. He is also right in that passage, at the end of that passage, called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So no doubt this is Jesus. Now the word that is used for crowns in that instance is the word diadema, which is the picture of diadem. It is a royal crown. If you know the hymn, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem. That's a royal crown, and crown him Lord of all. But there's another crown that is pictured in Scripture as well, and it is the word Stephanos. The word Stephanos gives a picture of a crown that is earned, that is worked for, that is deserved. This is the kind of crown that Paul and Peter talk about and James talks about in the Scripture when we think about the reward of a crown. When we think about the reward of a crown, it is a Stephanos. It is a laurel wreath or a garland of leaves that was put on someone's head after they had won an athletic contest. So there is a far distinction between the two. And what we find is the kind of crowns that we are called to earn and work for and have ambition to gain are these temporary crowns, or the picture of the Stephanos crown, something that is earned. But ultimately, since it is from the Lord, it is going to have eternal significance and an eternal importance in our worship. So let's think about these crowns this morning. And let's think as we look and picture what the Lord has to say about these crowns, we find that eternal rewards are given for service to those who are God's servants. That eternal rewards for service will be given to God's servants. And the first crown that we find in Scripture is the one we talked about last week, actually. It's called the crown of victory in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and following. And Paul says, look, do not all the runners in a stadium race, but only one will win the prize. Run in such a way to win the prize. Now, each one who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. The crown of victory is called an imperishable crown, which almost sounds interesting because we know that a crown or a garland or a laurel wreath is only going to have this temporary value. If you put something, a live branch on your head or leaves on your head, it won't be too much longer and they're going to get a little crunchy. They're gonna look brown. But now he says that there is an imperishable crown. It's not going to fade away. And it is given to those who practice self-discipline. Those who walk and work with focus. Those with faithfulness and a sense of fervency. Paul says, run so you can win your race. Don't go in and live the Christian life half-hearted. I want you to go in. The crown of victory is given to those who show discipline, to those who stay focused, to those who run their race for the Lord in their worship and their work and their service and their demeanor. And he says that on that judgment day, we can receive the crown of victory. The second crown is called the crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing is sometimes called the soul winner's crown. It is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we pick up in verse number 19. It says, for who is our hope or joy or crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and crown. It's called the crown of boasting, or the crown of giving laud, kind of is the picture. It's a crown of rejoicing in that someone has come to know Jesus. He says, you guys are our crown. This is called the soul winner's crown because it is given to those who have a focus on eternity and have a heart to share the gospel and have a heart to witness and speak the truth of the Lord to others. When we look at the New Testament, we find that, you know, we sometimes think, oh man, if someone's out sharing the gospel, then man, they're a highly extroverted person and that's just not me. And so how could I ever get this crown? Did you know, I think one of the people in the New Testament that we see who would get this crown would be Andrew. You know, and Andrew came to know Jesus first. And in John chapter 1 and verse number 40, it says the first thing that Andrew did after coming to know Jesus, he went to Peter and said, we have found the Messiah. You got to come see him. And he was the one who introduced Peter to Jesus. In John chapter 6, there was a little lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do you know who brought him to Jesus? Andrew. In John chapter 12, there was a group of Greeks, the Gentile worshipers, and Philip comes to Andrew and says, hey, these people have some questions about worship and they want to know. And you know what Andrew did? He went and got Jesus and he brought Jesus to the Greeks. He's just bringing people to Jesus. You know, Andrew was not in the inner three. That was Peter, James, and John. Very little is mentioned about Andrew's life. We don't see a lot of fanfare around him. We see a lot on Peter. We see a lot on John. But we don't see much written about Andrew. But what we do find is one who just was bringing people to Jesus and Jesus to people. You don't have to be a great extrovert and you don't have to have a seminary degree. It's just having a heart to see people come to Jesus and Jesus come to people. That really is the heartbeat of it all. Many of you knew Pastor Jerry's dad, Melvin. Melvin had a heart to share the gospel with people. He had a fire in his bones to share Jesus with others. And as I was thinking about the crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown, I thought about Melvin Dudley. I heard about the young man who was interviewed for a job at a cinema, and the cinema was in a mall. And as he went in for his interview, the manager asked him, look, if the theaters are filled and there's people watching movies and a fire breaks out, what are you going to do? And he said, man, you don't have to worry about me. I'm getting out of there. I'm afraid that sometimes is our attitude toward eternity. You don't have to worry about me. I'm going to heaven. It's not just going to heaven. It's who you're going to bring with you. What about all those people that don't know there's a fire? They don't know about eternity. They've not heard the truth about Jesus. What about all of those people? Who's going to be that person that goes and says, look, I need you to come to Jesus. Jesus, I need you to come to them. There's a heart and a challenge for us in our life. The crown of victory, the crown of rejoicing. Thirdly, there's the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Paul talks about this crown in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he says in verse number 6, he's nearing his death. He says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close, or it is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Paul says that I have run my race. I have fought my fight. I'm done. And now I am longing to see Jesus. He says, I'm waiting for the righteous judge to come and give me the crown of righteousness, which has been promised for me. But he says, it's not only for me, but to everyone who loves his appearing. You say, man, I'd love for Jesus to come. Oh, that's good. Then you should be running in righteousness, seeking to fight your good fight and run your race, and doing that with a focus on living a righteous life, because the Lord is going to come. But you know what I often find, and I can be guilty of myself. When you got a bad doctor's appointment, when you are financially out of money, when things are going bad, you know what you just say? Man, I just wish Jesus would come. Amen. We do, but here's the issue. The challenge here is we're not coming to Jesus because we love him, but to escape this. So the picture here is what loving his appearing means. Man, Lord, I know that I just want you, Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so I long for you. Oh God, where are you? I'm longing for you. That's the heartbeat. Lord, I want to be with you. Sometimes it's, Lord, I want to get out of this, more than it's, Lord, I want to see you. The issue is my heart first and foremost, Lord, I want to see you, and then I can get out of this too. There's a big difference. And you say, well, how can you really tell the difference? Well, I think you can tell it one way. Asking this question. If you really love his appearing and you're thinking about it, then what are you doing to cultivate your relationship with him now? How much are you in your Bible now? How are you running your race now? How are you fighting your fight now? That gives us that longing to see him. Fourthly, there is the crown of glory. The crown of glory is a shepherd's crown. This crown is pictured as one that is given to those that pastor or shepherd well. As we think about this crown in 1 Peter chapter 5, we recognize that Peter, as he's writing, is writing to pastor shepherd elders, and he says this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2. Shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not out of greed for money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd comes, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This, I believe, will be a crown given to those who faithfully pastor, but I don't think it is just limited to pastors. For all those who lead others well, for all those who shepherd other people well, they might be part of a care group. They might be part in their Bible study of reaching out and caring for others. It's interesting as he pictures this, he says, look, I don't want you to be the kind of shepherd that it's in it for money and it wants to be the church big boss and just order everybody around. No, I want you to act like a shepherd. I want you to shepherd people. No doubt, motifs of Psalm 23. No doubt, pictures of David in his life as a shepherd, as he would care for the sheep. Now brought to the New Testament, as Jesus would say in John chapter 10, that the good shepherd loves and gives his life for the sheep. And the good shepherd knows his sheep and is known by them. And my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The crown of glory. If you have been anywhere on any kind of media, social media this week, you have seen the story, and some of you already know where I'm going with this, of the CEO and the chief of HR, the chief people officer, who get caught in Foxborough, Massachusetts at Gillette Stadium, and he has his arms around her, and when the kiss cam comes on them, they both duck. I have felt for that man's wife this week just horrifically and thought that that guy deserved to get caught. But the truth is, as Peter writes, he said, I don't want you to be in ministry for money and I don't want you to lord it over, but I want you to be an example. And there have been many who thought that they were getting away with something and they never fooled God. For one millisecond, he knew it all. And how embarrassing it would be in a stadium of 65,000 people to have the kiss cam brought to you while you're in an inappropriate relationship. But what about those of us who call ourselves Christians who act in such a way that we try to hide from the Lord when we know we never can. Fifth crown is called the crown of life. The crown of life. It is mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 in verse number 10 and James chapter 1 in verse number 12. In Revelation 2:10, it says this. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you'll experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. James chapter 1 and verse number 12. Bless the man who endures trials or temptations, for when he has been approved, when he has been tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. This crown of life is given to those who suffer trials, those who walk through heavy waters, those who experience persecution in their life, those whose faith is on trial every day, and their life is endangered every day because they proclaim the name of Jesus. So we see men like Job who went through a health trial. We see men like Daniel who was instructed not to pray, and he went and he opened the windows of his house and he got down and prayed toward Jerusalem anyway, and he was thrown into a lion's den. We find men like Stephen who, after preaching in Acts chapter 6 and 7, they picked up stones and they stoned him. For those who have faced intense trial, intense persecution, he says, look, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. There's a special reward given for those who suffer. One of the early missionaries that I read about was a guy named Adoniram Judson. And Judson had gone to India and then went to Burma. Now it's called Myanmar. And there, in a very primitive land without the communication that we enjoy today, he was arrested by the Burmese at that time, and that one time he was hung up by his thumbs. He was in a terrible, filthy, wretched kind of a place in a prison held by the Burmese government, and his wife Anne would come and visit him, and she'd say, hang on, Adoniram, God will give us victory. Well, there were many weeks his wife did not come. And finally, after a few months, he was released and he went home. He said there was a child that was so dirty in the yard, he didn't even recognize it was his own child. And he went into the house and he saw his wife, Anne, who was very close to the point of death herself. And she said, hang on, Adoniram, God will give us the victory. Shortly thereafter, she died. But Adoniram Judson stayed on the mission field for 40 more years. That is the crown of life. So, eternal rewards for service will be given to God's servants. But then what? Then we're going to turn this around. Eternal rewards for service will be given to God's servants. But then eternal rewards for service will be returned to God. Notice back with me in Revelation chapter 4 that we just read at the beginning of the message. Revelation chapter 4. It says this. Revelation chapter 4. It says, whenever the living creatures, in verse number 11, give glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne. So now the eternal rewards for service are now returned back to the Lord. So we ask the question, who are these 24 elders? Well, you look back up at Revelation chapter 4 in verse number 4, and it tells us that there were 24 elders. They were seated on different thrones, and each of them had a crown on their head. Now, the reason that we believe that these elders represent believers is there are no angels with crowns. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that Hebrews 1 tells us that angels are ministering spirits sent to those who inherit salvation, that the Lord has his angels as servants. So we picture, and most scholars picture, that these 24 elders are representative of believers in the New Testament. And notice, as these believers begin to worship, four things begin to happen. First off, they fall down before the Lord. Notice in verse number 10. They worship the living creatures, give glory, honor, and thanks to the one who's on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, verse number 10, and the 24 elders fall down before the Lord. They fall down. There is this humility before him. He is on the throne, and we fall down before him because he is great. He is eternal, everlasting, holy, amazing, all-powerful, and they fall down before him, and they worship him. Notice, it says that they worship the one who lives forever and ever. They worship before the throne. They are worshiping the God. Then in verse number 11, and they cast their crowns before the throne. They cast their crowns. Now they're taking the crowns that they had earned on through their service, and they cast them before the Lord. And listen, all of them do this. Because they recognize that it is God who has worked in them, as Philippians chapter 2 says, God has worked in them to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That God gave them the ability to serve, God gave them the heart to serve, God gave them the opportunities to serve, and they were rewarded for that. But now they return those back to the Lord, and they say, Lord, you are worthy. God, you are great. We deserve nothing. We don't need crowns on our head. Lord, we give these to you. We humble ourselves before you. You are worthy alone. You are worthy. And they cast these crowns before the Lord. And then they worship. And notice, as they worship, they say things like this. They praise. They pour out their hearts. They praise before the throne and say, our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. You have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God, you are worthy to receive all honor, glory, and power. Lord, you are the creator. Lord, you are sovereign because all things by your will exist. Lord, we take these crowns off. We deserve nothing. We have no honor, no glory. You have all honor, all glory. It's all to you. What an amazing picture this is. What an awesome moment of worship this is. Can you imagine this? That people from every nation, tribe, tongue, all these folks coming from the myriads of the places, from the poorest places in the world to the most wealthy places in the world, and they all have one resounding theme. God's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. And they cast their crowns before him. Some of you will get to an age at your life where, and some of you have had to make that call, where you have to have that phone call with your parents. They call you and they say, all right, here's the truth. We don't really love you anymore, so we're going to have to throw your trophies from elementary school away. Yeah. So we're living in Georgia a few years ago, and my parents call me and they say, look, 1976 baseball trophy. Do you want these? Because if not, we're pitching all of them. My Elks Club free throw contest trophy. I won the Elks Club free throw contest trophy, and I was second in the region. Well, with four boys and a wife who loves dishes and no basements in Georgia, there was no room for trophies. So the trophies got trashed. And it's just a little picture and reminder of so many of the things that we work for on earth will end up in the trash. But only the difference that we make for the Lord and in eternity will last forever. So let me ask, what are you doing for eternity? What crowns are you after? On this earth, there are many who are not ambitious for working, serving, worshiping the Lord, who call themselves Christians. But all of us as Christians will appear before the Lord. And when we appear before the Lord, we'll probably all wish we had been more ambitious to work, to worship, and to serve. How can you live with more rewards for eternity and less regrets? That really is the question, because the trophies on earth will be trashed. And what have we done for an eternal impact? With that, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and for your truth. And I ask that you would take these next moments as we sing together, that this would be a time of genuine reflection upon our hearts, and that we would be in tune with your spirit. And God, I just pray for a fresh ambition. Lord, so many times as we think about our life and we think about the return on investment, we think about investing in this life, and Lord, help us to think about our return on investment for eternity. And God, give us a heart to make a difference for Jesus. Lord, it is in your awesome name we pray. And Lord, I pray your spirit would move. Thank you, Lord, for your truth, for your word. Amen.